Good infrastructure, my friends, and welcome to another exciting infrastructure of Infrastructure State Politics. I'm your infrastructure, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from Infrastructure Bighorns in Infrastructure, Wyoming. Did that make any sense to you whatsoever? Yeah, it didn't to me either. But it sure does to all these low-grade morons that inhabit the city of Washington, D.C. Oh yeah, even those Republican stalwarts are engaging in this dumb infrastructure talk. In fact, the word infrastructure isn't even a noun anymore. It's more like a dangling participle, or every other type of speech. It's really too bad that George Carlin is dead. It'd be a riot listening to him talk about all this dumb discussion. And here's the worst part. These idiots in D.C. actually think that we're the dumb ones and that we might actually believe them. That everything is infrastructure now. Oh, it's true. Nothing gets me fired up than a bunch of morons treating us like we're the dumb ones. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Cowboy State Politics. I'm your host, David Iverson, bringing sanity to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Now that I've toned down my tirade a little bit, how about some totally unnecessary self-promotion? You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find a wealth of information about any article that I might bring up during the course of a program. If you're the person that thinks an egg is actually infrastructure, well, you need to go to Cowboy State Politics and pull up an article and educate yourself. If you're unaware of what all this stupid infrastructure talk is about, the Democrats in Washington, D.C. and Sleepy Joe are pushing what they're calling a giant infrastructure bill. The truth is, it really has very little to do with roads or bridges or dams or anything else that we would consider actual infrastructure. And this thing is enormous, to the tune of about $2 trillion. If you've been keeping track during this whole COVID thing, we've already printed more money than our entire GDP in 1 year, and now we're going to add two more on top of it. I'm sure that's going to be absolutely fantastic for our economy, and the reverse is really true. It's going to destroy the whole darn thing, as if we're not well on our way to doing that already. First things first, let's find out exactly what this word infrastructure means. Now, I realize just about everybody within the sound of my voice knows what that word means. But just to make a point to all these idiots in Congress, including the Republicans who went to the White House to make a deal with Joe Biden on his infrastructure plan, make sure you put that one in air quotes, I've got a couple dictionaries, as you might imagine. Our favorite dictionary, Webster's New World Dictionary, defines inconceivable. Oh, wait a minute, that's the wrong word. Infrastructure is the system of public works of a country, state, or region. Also, the resources, such as buildings and equipment, required for an activity. Okay then, so what are public works? Well, that would be roads, sewer, water, train tracks, those sorts of things. All of that is infrastructure, including like dams, things like that. Water infrastructure, electrical infrastructure, those types of things. But things like childcare, that's not infrastructure, yet it's included in the president's infrastructure bill. We need only to go to the Cowboy State Cowpie, Cowboy State Daily, in an article entitled White House Claims Wyoming Public Trains Are Outdated. Barrasso explains there are no public trains in Wyoming, published today. And I quote, "If you're going to put out a fact sheet, it's always helpful to have the fact sheet be factual. In this case, it was not. Senator John Barrasso called out the White House for its claim that one-third of Wyoming's trains and transit vehicles are outdated. Problem is, as Barrasso noted, Wyoming doesn't operate a public train system." The senator produced a copy of a White House fact sheet, which says that 32% of trains and other transit vehicles in the state are past their useful life. The Biden administration claims that its plan to help support existing public transit in Wyoming. There are no public transit trains in Wyoming. The president says he is a no-malarkey guy. Well, this is a malarkey plan. End quote. Here's White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki saying how enamored she is with the use of maps.
Our objective and our focus is on addressing physical infrastructure, the infrastructure that is going to help us compete, including broadband. I had, oh, here, This is a broadband map. I love maps, don't you guys? This shows where there is not great broadband around the country, which I think is so interesting and shows you how much we need to do, what we need to do to address it.
Oh, I do love maps, Jen. And it's too bad somebody didn't show you one of all of the fabulous public transportation lines that we have in the state of Wyoming. And actually, the funniest part about that clip is she's pointing to a broadband map, and where it shows the state of Wyoming, the greatest concentration of broadband is in the mountain ranges. It's hilarious. Okay, back on topic. Let's roll that clip all the way back to the beginning, where she's asked how healthcare relates to infrastructure. This is fantastic.
To racial equality, the infrastructure bill has $400 billion focused on home healthcare aides. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are women yep. of color. How is that infrastructure, and explain why you see home healthcare workers as part of infrastructure?
Well, first, this is essentially a jobs bill. Yes, there is a lot in here that is infrastructure, but as the secretary just conveyed, our workers, our workforce is part of the backbone and the infrastructure of America's economy and communities. And if you have home health workers, as you noted, who are predominantly women of color, there are predominantly workers who are paid often $11 an hour about on average. These are communities and individuals.
Blah, blah, blah. Basically, Jen Psaki just told you that the entire administration is lying to you. They claim that there's a lot of infrastructure in the bill, but it's just as fictitious as the public transportation in Wyoming. And the whole point of it is that none of it has anything to do with roads or bridges or even jobs for that matter. It is simply an attempt to spend more money and to hurt the United States economy. That's the whole plan, folks. There is no other logical explanation for their actions. And really, all this silly discussion of what the word infrastructure means is just sleight of hand to distract you from what they're really doing, and that is spending and printing more of your money so that they can control more and more parts of the United States economy. That's it, guys. It's no more complicated than that. In our next story, back to the cow pie, an article published today entitled Wyoming Gun Owners Group Says Director of Sheriffs and Police Association is, quote, a cancer on the Second Amendment. So the director of the Wyoming Sheriffs Association is a guy named Byron Odekoven. In response to this horrendous claim, the article says, quote, but Odekoven, a law enforcement officer for almost 30 years, denied Aaron Doerr's allegations, noting that in 1995, he signed an amicus brief on behalf of what was then the Wyoming Association of Sheriffs, challenging the validity of the federal Brady Bill gun control measure. End quote. That was 26 years ago, and since that time, Byron Odekoven has opposed every single pro-gun measure that has come up in the Wyoming legislature. Odekoven goes on to say, quote, my personal record shows I've been incredibly strong for the Second Amendment, and for them to describe it otherwise is a total disregard for the truth. Apparently you are disregarding the truth as well, Mr. Odekoven, since you haven't supported a single pro-gun measure in, the last 26 years. And as the cowpie quotes the letter that was signed by 23 Wyoming sheriffs, it says, quote, the Wyoming Sheriffs Association collectively and individually hold the United States and Wyoming constitutions in the highest regard. We, the Wyoming sheriffs, respectfully request that the Wyoming legislature seek laws that allow us to perform our duties while still protecting the law-abiding citizens' right to keep and bear arms, which we hold as an absolute, end quote. Yeah, we would believe that if you had taken Anthony Bouchard up on his offer to address every single one of your concerns, and when you declined to accept his request, he did it anyway. And to prove that, here's Byron Odekoven in his own words again, quote, our position was to stand strong on the Second Amendment and to assist where we could in developing strong language that would work well for law enforcement. End quote. No, Byron Odekoven didn't do that because he was given the chance to develop, quote, strong language, and he declined. Apparently, the only thing of value coming out of the cowpie today is what ranchers refer to as the smell of money. In other words, bullcrap. We'll get back to the program in just a second, but first, an obscene profit timeout. This Wednesday edition of Cowboy State Politics is brought to you exclusively by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for a new building or new barn, you should contact Nick or Jesse at Morton Buildings. These guys have been around longer than just about every other company, and they certainly do it better than any other company. They build state-of-the-art metal buildings that stand the test of time. The truth is, you've probably seen a lot of their work driving around this great state of ours and not even known it. They manufacture most of their own building components, and they construct your building in just the manner that you want. Morton handles your entire building project from concept through completion to ensure that it meets their very high standards. So if you've got a building in mind, be it a small outbuilding or a giant roping arena, call Nick or Jesse at 674-2532 and they'll build you the building of your dreams. You can give them a call or you can just check them out on their website, mortonbuildings.com. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Joe Biden or if your name is Crickets Cheney, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article and read it for yourself like you should have been doing the whole time. And now, back to our program. And since we're talking about the smell of money, let's do one more article. This one is entitled, Mask Order in Wyoming Schools Extended Until the End of April. Alexia Harris, state health officer, says, and I quote, "While we continue to see stable case numbers and hospitalizations in most areas of the state, our overall progress seems to have plateaued." Yeah, because it's really, really small. Anyway, she goes on to say, COVID-19 remains a threat for now, with cases growing in other states. Aha! So your health orders for the state of Wyoming are based on what's happening in other states not called Wyoming. I get it. So really, all of your health orders have nothing to do with what's happening in the state of Wyoming. Oh, that seems perfectly logical to me. I mean, we wouldn't want to base our actions with what's actually happening on the ground in Wyoming, which brings up another question. Does it feel like we're still in a state of emergency to you? Well, it really shouldn't feel that way because we're not, and we haven't been in a state of emergency since the very beginning of this pandemic. In fact, when Governor Gordon declared a state of emergency in the state, there was one case within the state lines of Wyoming. Yep, and that's probably the reason why there's a lawsuit against Governor Mark Gordon and Alexia Harris. And for an update on that story, let's go to Nick Badoon. Last Wednesday, April 7th, there was a hearing on a motion to dismiss the lawsuit against Governor Mark Gordon. And to get some insight into that, there's nobody else better to talk to than the guy that filed the lawsuit, Nick Badoon. Nick, how are you doing this morning?
Good, David. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, not a problem. We're always interested in what's going on in your lawsuit. So can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, certainly. After the hearing, we did receive quite a bit of feedback from both our brave petitioners and supporters, and it's been positive all around. But the two questions that have always kind of been out there that we've been getting asked in this last week is, how did we, the legal team, feel the hearing went, and when will the judge make a decision? First, my team that was there, we believed that we presented a very well-documented case against the Attorney General's motion to dismiss. And I guess I should say this, you know, we've only published the Attorney General's motion to dismiss. Other county attorneys have also filed those. So when we walked in the courtroom, my team and I, there was approximately 20 county attorneys and the Attorney General's office all in court. It was one of the There's a lot of attorneys in that courtroom, we'll just say that. And the majority of the county attorneys have joined in with the Attorney General's motion to dismiss. The Attorney General or AG's motion to dismiss was based off of standing, saying that my petitioners didn't have a right to question what the government was doing and the respondents' response to the pandemic of COVID.
Okay, hold on just a second. So what is standing? Because we hear that all the time when it concerns lawsuits. So what exactly is that, Nick?
Well, I think the easiest way to kind of describe it is for you to make a complaint, whether it's against a personal injury type automobile case or you know, like our situation against the government, the plaintiff has to show an actual suffered an injury in fact. It's fairly traceable to the challenged conduct of a defendant, or in this case, the respondents, and that we have actual redress using the judicial system to seek a remedy. And the attorney generals were arguing that we didn't have general standing. And then there's this whole question of public interest standing, and it's called a Bremer test. And then First Amendment standing as well. And in speaking with the team and what we argued in the courtroom, we have standing on all three of those potential types of standing. So even if I believe that something was violating your First Amendment rights, and I could bring suit to protect you in regards to that, that's how we get through our First Amendment standing. And if you look at our memorandum in response to the Attorney General's motion to dismiss, it's all very well outlined in that case or in that document.
Okay.
And so that's where, and then the other question, you know, as far as us and the team, we do believe the hearing went pretty well. The judge was very attentive. He addressed me several times, asking me direct questions. And so we felt like it went pretty well. And we just need at least one of our petitioners to survive, which I hopefully all of them will. The question will maybe ultimately be how many of the county health officers are still involved with the case. Then in regards to when will the judge make the decision, I'm just encouraging everyone I talked to that due to the nature of this case, the attorneys involved, the documents that have been filed, which have been numerous at this stage, just to have patience with the court. He understands, and you can tell in his mannerisms and how he addressed us in the courtroom that he understands the significance of this case.
Oh, that's a good thing.
We just got to give him time to actually work through all the documentations and the oral arguments that we presented last Wednesday.
I think it's important for our listeners to understand that court in the real world does not happen like it does in a John Grisham novel. I mean, things take a long time. And as Nick mentioned, there's a lot of documents with this case, and the judge has to sift through all of those in making his decision. So it's not something that's probably going to be made right away. In fact, it may take a week or it may take 2 weeks. Correct, Nick?
I would agree with that. And, you know, when I do jury trials, David, like I always kind of remind the jurors, I'm not going to be in there like Perry Mason and have one of those aha moments. Like we're going to have to walk through all the facts of the case and present them that way. And I guess the other thing too, David, is one of the things that I wasn't paying attention to, and some people had some confusion in regards to the court documents that we did put on the webpage at Free Wyoming 23. We have reorganized those. So it should be easier for the people who show up to the to that webpage to follow those documents and the timeline of those. And it's no fault to my webmaster. I was just sending her the documents in PDF form and saying, yeah, please post these, and not really looking at them. But I will be much more diligent in presenting these documents in a timeline fashion so people can, when they go to the webpage, can just click through them in an easier manner.
Okay. All right. So the next question is, what happens next?
It all kind of depends on what the court chooses to do. If the court chooses to dismiss our petition, our next process will be to file an appeal with the Wyoming Supreme Court. If the court allows at least one of our petitioners and agrees that they do have standing, as the AG was arguing against and most of the county attorneys, but if that were to occur, then we would actually proceed finally to the preliminary injunction hearing.
Okay, so I have one more question for you today, Nick. Okay. So there was a big article in the Buffalo Bulletin, and basically it said that the service was made incorrectly, and that's a reason to dismiss the case. So could you respond to that article in the Buffalo Bulletin for me?
Yeah, I can, and obviously they never contacted me or wanted my input in regards to that. And I saw that the article said that this was a fatal flaw. And that was the argument that we really laid out in the courtroom on the 7th, which is this. Pursuant to, I believe it's 35.1, 220, and 227, it indicates that all the county health officers are under direct supervision of the Wyoming Department of Health. The other statute goes a little bit further and says the Attorney General's office must accept service on behalf of the Department of Health. We properly serve the Attorney General's office. That's the only person we had to serve for the Department of Health as well as Governor Gordon. Then what we did is when he refused to accept service on behalf of the county health officers, we decided just to cover our bases and to have a safety net to go ahead and serve every county attorney across the state.
So it's not a fatal flaw then?
No, either way, I think we were covered. I just don't believe that we ever had to drag in all the county attorneys.
Okay. Well, I think that clears it up. Is there anything else you want to talk about today, Nick?
No, I think that's it.
All right, great. Well, I appreciate you coming on and giving us an update, and good luck on your lawsuit.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So when you look back on the last week's events, about the only thing that went normal is that there was a giant hearing about this lawsuit and that a bunch of lawyers crammed themselves into a room and talked about a whole bunch of legalese. Other than that, the rest of this country seems to be upside down in crazy town. And that's just yet another reason why you should continue to listen to Cowboy State Politics. We'll keep you straight on all of this insanity coming out of Washington, D.C., the Middle Swamp of Cheyenne, or anywhere else for that matter. Looking into our crystal ball, we've got a number of great interviews coming up on Cowboy State Politics in the coming programs. We'll talk with State Senator Anthony Bouchard. This is going to be an interview that you won't hear anywhere else. Also, I've got a panel discussion with Representative Chip Nyman, Mark Jennings, and Representative John Baer. This one we're going to co-host with the Ramble Room. It's going to be a fantastic discussion on Medicaid expansion. And one of the more interesting interviews that you won't hear anywhere else except for Cowboy State Politics, we'll talk to Dr. David Earl Grafe. This guy is amazing. Just reading his curriculum vitae is enough for one program. But he's been involved in, who guessed it, the field of medicine and epidemiology almost his entire working career. You're not going to want to miss this one. Those are just some of the upcoming shows on Cowboy State Politics. So from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.